I'll be reading Psalms chapter 127, verse 1. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. You may be seated.
Morning, church. If you find out at some point, you're missing a certain dollar bill of a certain amount, come see me, talk to me afterwards. There's been some money found in the parking lot, and if you're looking for that, need that, come talk to me. I don't mind keeping it or passing it on. If no one comes, we'll just put it into the contribution for today and use it in the Lord's work. So if you need that amount of money, come talk to me afterwards. I'd like to pray, but I have a very specific prayer that I'd like to pray. And I only want to pray that prayer after I read a parable. Now, this is not a parable you're going to find in the Bible. This is a made-up parable that I think you're going to be able to connect with potentially in some way. And so would you hear the parable for just a moment and then go with me to God in prayer? Satan called a worldwide convention of demons. In his opening address, he said, "We can't keep Christians from turning against God, but we can distract them from God. Let them go to church, but let us steal their time, so they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do," said the devil. "Distract them from maintaining that vital connection with Jesus throughout their day." "How shall we do this?" his demons asked. "Well, keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds," he answered. "Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear the still, small voice of God. Entice them to play the radio or listen to podcasts whenever they drive, to keep the TV, the DVD, their CDs, or their PCs going constantly in their home. This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Pound their minds with news 24 hours a day. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, mail order catalogs, and every kind of newsletter and promotion offering free products, services, and false hopes. Let them stand in line for hours for the latest cell phone or book trilogy, forgetting about God. Let them be seduced by glitzy advertising that will lure them away from God. Fill their world and their minds with trash so that they will not have room for God. Tempt them to spend, spend, and spend so that they borrow, 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 so that they trust less and less and less. Persuade the husbands to go to work for long hours and extra long hours, working 6 to 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so that they can afford their empty lifestyles, and keep wives and husbands too tired to love each other after their work, and give them headaches too. You see, if they don't give each other the love that they need, they will begin to look elsewhere. That will fragment their families. Keep them from spending time with their children. And as their families fragment, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. And what we're going to do is keep skinny, beautiful models on magazines and TVs and their phones so that they believe the outward beauty is what's really important and forget that loving God and neighbor is what's truly beautiful. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. That'll work. Let them think that attending a sports event is more important than keeping holy the Lord's Day and treating the sports stars as if they were heroes. Keep them too busy to go out in nature and reflect on God's creation. Keep them busy, busy, busy. Demons, it will work, work, work. And it was quite a plan. The demons went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busier and more rushed, going here and there and having little time for their God or their families. And so the question needs to be asked. Busy. Could it mean being under Satan's yoke? Let's pray for our families and for our faith. Holy God, we exalt you as the God of heaven and earth. We know that it was through you, your Son, by the power of your Spirit, that all things came into existence. We know that it is by you all things continue to exist. And we recognize the great need we have for your salvation in Jesus. And so, Father, we beg from you the ability to carve out of our lives the waste and the harmful busyness that prevents our homes from being safe havens of faith, that keeps our homes from being places where spirituality is encouraged and discussed and lived out. Give us the courage to carve out from our lives the busyness that would keep our husbands and wives from loving each other like Christ loves the church, that keeps fathers and mothers from training their children in your ways, that keeps us from being who we ought to be. God, give us the courage to exalt you, not just in this hour, but in every hour of every day. And to your glory, not only will our homes be saved and be places of faith, but others in our community, God, throughout the world, people are in need of your salvation and of your love, of a knowledge of you as the true God. We pray that it starts here. It starts with us, and it will spread like wildfire, God. We love you, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know when it happened, but it seems like to me, we put this maybe unintentional, but maybe sometimes intentional badge on the busyness of our schedules. Almost as if the most busiest, and I know that doesn't make sense as far as English is concerned, almost as if the most busiest wins. Oh, I've got this, this, and this. You're really not a man unless you work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. You're not a man unless you wake up before the sun rises and you leave. You don't come back before the sun is set. That for some reason you're doing it the wrong way if you have too much free time or if you go on too many family trips over the weekends. That for some reason we have this badge of nobility that I'm working myself and running myself ragged at the expense sometimes of my family and of the faith that ought to be within. It absolutely is necessary to work. And there are so many priorities in this life that we must take care of and that we are responsible for. But first and foremost is to love God and to love others and to train up everybody in our home in the way that they ought to go. I know that specifically is speaking about children, but anybody within your home, if your home is a one-person unit to a seven-person unit, your home and you in it have a responsibility to be a safe haven of faith and spirituality. But our families are facing a threat today, a threat of busyness that Satan is using to tear our families away from that faith. So I've got three questions that I want you to ask yourself and every member within your home. And I'm going to start with number three. Do people in your home see that you are too busy for God? There's a very interesting story that takes place in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. In the text, Jesus is coming into that home. And I want you to see what is taking place within that home. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Notice this in verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Coming into the home, Jesus was present. One woman was aware of how important the presence of Jesus was in the home. Another woman was too busy with much serving. Now, was it necessary that things be served? Yes. Was it a priority? Yes, somewhere on the list. But should it have taken priority over Jesus? No. Do sometimes within our homes, we put things that are on the list of priorities over the priority, Jesus? Yes. You know, food can wait. We have a lot of things that go within our congregation. Sometimes we have potluck meals afterwards. You know what? Food can wait. I don't think we have to rush out of worship and leave in the middle of worship to go prep some food. It just doesn't matter. Food can wait because the priority of priorities is Jesus the Lord. And within our homes, we have many things that we must take care of. But if Jesus isn't made the priority, then we're wrong. Do our family members see that we're too busy for God? It's absolutely being taught. You see, you don't have to speak words to teach lessons. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Do we run around ragged sometimes in our homes, unable to be still and to be quiet for just a moment as a family? To hear that still, small voice? What do our families see? Do they see that we're too busy for God? Do they see that we're too busy for other people? A number of years back, a young and very successful executive was traveling down a suburban street. He had just bought this brand new black Jaguar. And suddenly, while driving down the road, a brick flew across his windshield. It drilled the side of his car. And it left a huge dent. And so he slammed on his brakes. He put the gear into reverse and he madly spun his tires back to the spot where the brick had been thrown. And so he jumped out and he grabbed after he saw the kid who threw it. He grabbed this kid and he screamed, "What was that all about? That's my new Jag and that brick you threw is going to cost me a bunch of money." And the little boy, shaking and shivering, even with tears falling down his face, he said, "Please, mister, please, I'm sorry. I didn't know what else to do," pleaded the youngster as the story is told. "I threw the brick because no one else would stop." You see, at this point, tears were dripping down his face and off of his chin. And he pointed around the parked car and he said, "It's my brother." He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up. And so sobbing, the boy asked the executive, "Would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt, and he's too heavy for me to lift." The mood in that moment was immediately transformed. That executive realized what had occurred. And so he walked over to the boy, as the story is told, and he lifted him up and put him back in the wheelchair. He took out his handkerchief, wiped the scrapes and the cuts of the boy. Walking back to his Jaguar, he watched as that little brother pushed that bigger brother in his wheelchair down the block toward their home. That young executive with the dent in the Jaguar decided never to fix it, but to let it serve as a reminder not to go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at him to get his attention. When the Good Samaritan, in the story of the Good Samaritan, when the man was lame and hurt and kicked over to the curb on the side of the road, one person walked by because he was on his way somewhere else and didn't have time to stop. Another man walked by and didn't want to come into contact with an unclean, lower of society type of individual. And so they were walking right past the person who needed help. And so finally that Samaritan comes by and in essence, he receives the brick thrown in his face, not literally, but metaphorically. What does it mean? Somebody is here on the side that needs help. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, what do family members of ours see? Do they see that we're too busy for others? that we're going through life so fast with so many goals in mind in whatever area of life that we're too busy to help people? You know, it's true in Matthew 25 that Jesus says, as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Some of us might need a brick thrown at our homes and receive the message of stop, slow down, and place the priority above all other priorities. Are we too busy for them? The third question, speaking specifically about children, are we too busy for them? A mother told a story. My precious boy with golden hair came up one day beside my chair and fell upon his bended knee and said, "Oh, mommy, please play with me." I said, "Not now. Go on and play. I've got so much to do today." He smiled through tears and eyes so blue when I said, "We'll play when I get through." But the chores lasted all the day, and I never did find time to play. When supper was over and dishes done, I was much too tired for my little son. I tucked him in and kissed his cheek. And watched my angel fall asleep as I tossed and turned upon my bed. Those words kept ringing in my head. "Not now, son. Go on and play. I've got so much to do today." I fell asleep in a minute span. My little boy is a full-grown man. No toys are there to clutter the floor. No dirty fingerprints on the door. No snacks to fix, no tears to dry. The rooms just echo my lonely sigh. And now I've got time to play, but my precious boy has gone away. I awoke myself with a pitiful scream. Thankfully, I realized it was just a dream. For across the room in his little bed lay my curly-haired boy, the sleepy head. My work will wait till another day. For now I must find time to play. What do your children see in you? I know we have things tugging and pulling all the day. But are we sick with the disease of busyness? And I think we need to call it what it is. It is a dis-ease of being busy. We are never at ease. And it's spiritually destructive to our health and well-being, not just of ourselves, but of our families. And it saps our ability to be fully present within the lives of those within our homes. And it could be, and it is potentially, eternally destructive. So what do our family members see? And how do we make a change? You know, we don't necessarily follow by command and law the old covenant, but it is absolutely for our health and well-being to read it, learn it, and consider it. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, you know God installed the Sabbath day? And if you read in those verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, isn't it interesting that you find when he installed the Sabbath day, that he said specifically, father, mother, son, daughter, nobody work. Why? I wonder. Could it be that our Lord knew that his people needed to find rest in a home as a family together? Not just to find rest to do nothing, but to find rest in the faith that is being built and discussed within the home. I like to think so. So how do we change? Because I know you want to have a home of faith. Maybe a verse like this from Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, for the days are evil. And therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, how do we go about carrying that out within our homes? Three pieces of advice to move beyond the dis-ease and the disease of busyness. Begin with the end in mind. As a family, we must begin with the end in mind. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, it says that the whole of man is this, to fear God and keep His commandments. And so how can I, as a person of influence within my home, how can I help to carry that out, to fear God and keep His commandments? I think number two, the piece of advice is this, I must be proactive. I have to be intentional to create a family identity. It broke my heart recently when I discussed with a grown man about his upbringing. He said, I love my parents. We talked about many things. I don't think I remember five times that we talked about the Lord or discussed anything of the spiritual realm. That individual has since left the Lord. Did you hear me, families? Has left the Lord. On all accounts, as the world is concerned, a loving family that supported each other and were there for each other in all sports, academics, band practices, extracurricular activities. They spent holidays together and they went on vacations. But you know what was absolutely absent in their home? Discussion of the Lord and spiritual things. Now, what is the outcome of that? We have to keep the end in mind, fear God and keep His commandments, and be proactive about creating a family identity. You know, we have rooms for everything within our homes. We have bedrooms, kitchens, bathrooms, living rooms, game rooms, man rooms, woman rooms. We have rooms for all sorts of activities. We have rooms to park our cars in. You have a room of prayer? Do you have a room of Bible study? Have you created a family place in which when you know you come to this couch or you sit at this table, the one thing and the only thing that will take place is that family around the Word of God or around a prayer to God or singing songs to God because you know this is the place in my home where spiritual things happen. We intentionally make rooms for everything. Have you ever thought about making an intentional space for God in your home? And that might help. I'm thinking with the end in mind, and I'm proactively and intentionally creating a family identity of faith and admiration of the Lord God. Third piece of advice. I put first things first. Listen, I get it. Life is busy. But when life controls you, and when you allow other people and other entities and other groups to take control of your life instead of being in control of your own schedule, then it will take control and it will take you and make you what the world wants you to be, out of control and out of a faith focus. We need to focus back into faith as families. We need to recognize, yes, I have priorities and I have responsibilities that must be taken care of, but because I'm being intentional about the end in mind, I'm creating a family identity of spirituality, I can put first things first. So I might wake up an hour early. I might have to go to sleep a little bit later, but you know what? Sacrifice sleep. Sacrifice something to promote spirituality. I may have to give up another TV show because at night I'm spending 15, 20, 30 minutes with my family reading Bible stories. I was pricked at my heart a few weeks ago in discussing something with a new Christian. And this new Christian said to me, you know, Austin, it's been really neat. I've been reading 6 to 7 Bible stories with my children every single night. We've done it for 2 weeks. And now my kids have started to long for it and want it. And if I'm about to miss it, they'll tell me about it. I looked at myself and I thought, man, Austin, it's time to get your act together. Now, you may not have children at home. So what? Is your home a place of faith? It ought to be. Are you a person of spirituality? You ought to be. And so whether there are kids or not kids, you have a responsibility to put first things first, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness so that everything else will be added to you. And so you as an individual and you as a family, and maybe we as a congregation, we start remembering these pieces of advice to keep the end in mind and be intentional about creating spirituality as my family identity. So that number three, we will put first things first. We must be aware of the threats that face our families. Busyness is a wrecking ball. And it can come and destroy your home and the lives of those within it. Satan wants to fill your schedule with busyness in order to keep your family from being consumed with spiritual things. As a matter of fact, he wants you to be consumed with spiritual emptiness. But fill yourself today. Allow the Lord God of heaven and earth to fill your cup today. So that when you go home, you won't go home empty, but you will go home running over. And allow your family to experience the spiritual flood that can wash us and cleanse us and keep us strong together with our Lord. So no matter what position you hold in your family, each member ought to see you having time for others, for family, and for God most of all. Proactively put the first things first, aware of the goal of leading your entire family to heaven for eternity, and you will not go wrong. And make God the Lord of your life and Lord of your family's life. And praise be to Him forever and ever. Amen. If you need to change today, I'm talking on an individual level, a family level. I'm talking about in your home, at your job, or just in the private recesses of your mind. Are you too busy for God? And if you have been, I hope the message today is resonating within your being. And it has caused you to be pricked at your heart and to make whatever change is necessary to put Him first above all the rest. Lay your burdens down, every care that you carry, and come to the table. He'll give you rest. Let it be known as we stand and sing together.
While we pray.